Hello and welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, everyone. Tate Duryea, Ryan Gibson on another week of financial education here. How are you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm excited for Super Bowl Sunday.
You know,
Tate, you want me to explain to you what that means?
You know, I'm a huge sports guy, right? Yeah.
It's the game of the year, Tate,
That's
for
so
football
funny.
When
it's
the
so
best
funny.
Two teams in the NFL come together and they play.
I got my head down, man. I'm like, I don't even know what month it is.
Oh, come on. Work and no play makes a boy lame.
It's true,
you know, the saying.
Yeah. Hey,
but you can take a break and watch a football game every once in a while.
We've been hiring people, so it's good. It's taking a little bit of the pressure off.
Well, but my alternative team.
I was going to say Seahawks are in the Super Bowl. Congratulations to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to get our ultimate revenge of 11 years ago. You have no idea what I'm talking about, so I'll explain it. Basically, we almost won the Super Bowl against the Patriots 11 years ago, except we, instead of taking the easy handoff to one of the best running backs, I think, in the NFL ever, almost one of the best running backs ever, we passed the ball and had it intercepted on the 1 yard line. And so we are going to get our revenge back from that,
I like that.
This Sunday. So hopefully, if you're listening, well, actually, we're gonna air this actually before the Super Bowl.
Before the Super Bowl, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And speaking of good running backs, you know, I used to be a pretty big football fan. I was in San Diego during the Phillip Rivers, LaDainian Tomlinson era. And that was a fun time to be a Chargers fan. But we got knocked out of the playoffs.
Well, you know,
Phillip
Rivers came back this year, right?
I saw that. And I think he's got, what, like 7 kids now? And,
something like that.
I always loved that he drove a minivan to the stadium when he was playing for the Chargers.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, no, it's good week, good weekend coming up, and a lot of fun stuff. But you know, if you're just tuning in and you haven't listened to the 140 plus episodes that we recorded, we are refreshing a topic today. And again, I think you're going to learn some new things if you've been following along since the very beginning. About cost segregation and some of the things that you really need to look for when you're interviewing a provider to give you advice on what building components you can break up in a deal and how you benefit from this stuff.
And this is the perfect 1-2 punch from last week. Last week, we aired Brandon Hall from Hall CPA, and we're talking about depreciation. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I'd highly recommend actually you go back and listen to that first, because that will give you a very good holistic understanding of how depreciation works and obviously how it applies to real estate. And then this is a more nuanced topic of how to break out those components from a real estate building, essentially, and write off those components with 100% bonus depreciation. So it's a perfect 1-2 punch, last week's episode and this one today.
You know, for the super advanced people out there who are doing commercial real estate deals that listen to the show, one thing that I've learned about cost seg in the last, call it 30 or 40 days, is when you actually set up your balance sheet for your investment, the cost segregation report actually is going to help make your fixed asset schedule. And so having a really good cost seg study is great for depreciation and all that stuff, right? Bonus depreciation, cost segregation, tax benefits. But it also serves as a really good instrument to your accounting firm so they can create your balance sheet and your fixed asset schedule.
Yes.
And it's a way to kind of sort out what building components you have and what you don't going forward. So,
and for those of you that just own, you know, a couple rental properties and you're going, oh my God, that sounds complicated.
Yeah.
You can do the exact same thing. You know, to set up a rental portfolio correctly, you should have a QuickBooks account with class tracking. There's a different class for each rental property. And the exact same thing occurs. So whether it's a $100 million multifamily or self-storage facility, or if it's just a couple of rental houses, you should have proper books for your rental portfolio. This is a business. Treat it like a business. Get those books set up. Do it by class tracking. And exactly what Ryan just said still applies to that single family home that you rent out.
Exactly. Well, with that, let's jump into it and talk about cost segregation.
Let's go.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money.
This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll. Gian, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Tate. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we were chatting ahead of hitting the record button, and I'm just so excited for this conversation because we just had a conversation with Brandon Hall of Hall CPA that aired a week or two ago. So if you haven't listened to that one, I actually would recommend pushing the pause button on this episode. Go back to that because we talked about what depreciation is and what basis is and how real estate gets depreciated. So it's a really good foundational episode. Today, we're just going to be digging into cost segregation studies. So if you want that ground level, you know, foundation poured, go back to that episode with Brandon Hall. Check that out and come back to this one. You'll have a much better primer. But John, thank you so much for coming on. Give us some of your background.
Yeah, so my background, I've been in doing cost segregation studies for 25 years. I actually have a degree in structural engineering. I kind of fell into this world of tax and accounting out of college. I started working for a company called Arthur Andersen, which back in the day was one of the largest CPA firms in the world. And they needed engineers. They were hiring engineers specifically because they were doing these cost seg studies for these major companies like the casinos that you all know in Las Vegas, or these big pharmaceutical companies that have these huge plants. And so we're working on these, you know, $500 million, billion-dollar construction projects. And, you know, I'm out of college looking through blueprints and construction cost details. And, you know, interesting looking back at the time, I never knew just how powerful and, you know, unknown cost seg was at the time.
Right.
And after I left those companies, started KBKG, we were one of the only cost segregations companies in the country that was really focused on the mid to smaller market. And now these days, you know, there's a lot of competition out there. But yeah, that's my background. It's been 25 years here at KBKG. We're one of the largest cost seg firms in the country now.
Incredible. And for anybody that's never heard of a cost seg, what is it?
Yeah, so cost segregation, it's one of the most powerful strategies for real estate investors. And what it allows you to do is pay less in tax, okay, by writing off parts of your building that you buy much faster. Okay. So normally, when you buy a piece of real estate, step one is you have to figure out how much the land is worth and how much the building is worth. So let's say you bought a $300,000 rental home. The land might be worth $30,000. The building is worth $270,000. You're supposed to depreciate that rental home over 27 and a half years for tax, okay? But not everything inside the building lasts that long. And so the tax rules basically outline all the criteria, and there's a lot of stuff in the building that you're allowed to write off, you know, now in year one, okay? And so a cost seg study, and let me give you some examples of the types of things we're talking about. Things like the vinyl plank flooring, the appliances that you buy with it, even the piping and the wiring that's connected to those appliances, cabinetry outside the building, things like the driveway, the asphalt paving, all these things can be written off much quicker. And so a cost seg study is an engineering report. Someone goes out there and measures all this stuff and breaks that property down in all these different pieces. So you get to take and write off those pieces in year one instead of 27 and a half years. So you're getting those deductions right away. And, you know, just to put more, you know, more context and numbers to it, I talked about a $300,000 single family home purchase. The land is worth $30,000. The building is $270,000. That means you get to take a deduction of $10,000 each year for 27 years. Okay.
Right.
That's without cost seg. Now, with cost seg, you're able to write off as much as 25% of that number. So now we're talking about $54,000 of deductions. So that delta, you've just increased your deductions by $44,000 that you can use, right, those tax savings to invest in more properties. So that's the power of cost seg. And that's just a small property. There's investors, you know, all the major investors, including Donald Trump, have been using this strategy. And when you're, you know, the numbers just get enormous as the property purchases get bigger.
It's my understanding as well that this is, in the IRS's eyes, the correct and proper way to depreciate real estate. Am I correct on that? Because straight line depreciation you can use by default, but the IRS would actually rather you put your appliances and your flooring and your roof in the correct categories and depreciate them appropriately.
Yeah. Look, this is all based off of IRS tax regulations. There's categories and it's very clear how all this stuff should be handled. The issue is that a lot of people just pay one price for their real estate and they don't know how much it's all worth. But, you know, when I was talking about these major companies like the pharmaceuticals that were building these things and they have all the details for these things, you know, sometimes they don't need a specialist to break them out. But certainly when you're buying an asset and you're paying one price, you know, it's you need somebody, you need a third party expert. And the IRS really recommends using a third party to do these studies because it is the proper way to do it. And it is all, you know, in the tax code.
Right, right. And so one of the key attributes of a cost segregation study is the fact that it's structural value. And that's a fundamental part of understanding how these things work is that you can't depreciate dirt. And we talked about that on the episode with Brandon a few weeks ago. But, you know, dirt doesn't go down in value, but the structure does. And that's why they allow you to depreciate it, right? So, you know, I've always been interested in the different methodologies of separating land versus structural value. There's a couple ways you can get to it. I mean, there are some firms that just slap a straight 15% value on land. They don't even look at anything. There's obviously the county website where you can look at your assessed value of what you're and it'll tell you what land value is and what the structural value is. What are your thoughts on that? You can also, I believe, give your appraiser the job. You know, get it appraised and have your appraiser actually split it out. What's your preferred method? Maybe we can talk about each one of those and the pros and cons.
Yeah, look, I mean, the most common method, and let's start with that, is the one where you have data to support it. And so you can always look at the property tax, the county assessor's allocation of land versus building. And so you can go to their website, you put in the address. Maybe you bought the property for $1 million. A lot of times the county assessor has these weird funky values where even right. though you paid $1 million, it says that the improvements are worth, you know,
$150,000.
Yeah, $150,000. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They use some multiple. That's how it works in Nevada. Right. Yeah, where I live. So it's weird. And other counties where I own property, it's like the assessed value is basically the appraised value. Why is that?
Yeah, it's like you said, they use different multiples based on the county and how they put values to it. But bottom line is let's say it's not tying to what you purchased it for. Like you said, if it was $1 million, you paid $1 million, but for whatever reason, they're saying that the land is worth $50,000 and the improvements are worth $150,000. What's important is that percent allocation. So in that case,
right, the ratio,
everything was 200 adds up to 200,000. The land in my example is 25%. You can use that allocation that so and apply it to the purchase price. So 25% of your purchase price would be considered land. That's a safe way to figure out how much the land is worth and how much the building is worth. In a lot of cases, it's actually a reasonable outcome. And when it is a reasonable outcome, when the county assessor says that the land is worth 10% of the overall improvements, that's usually a pretty good result.
Okay.
In some cases, in coastal areas, you know, near the beach, you know, they might say that the land is worth 50 or 60 or 70%. Of the allocation. And sometimes that's might be correct too, but it comes down to what is reality. And sometimes it's hard to discern that.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when you're thinking about doing cost seg, obviously, you know, we say this all the time. You don't want to let the tax tail wag the investment dog, right? Don't buy something just for the tax write-off. But as you're thinking through something that you're considering buying, and you might be, you know, planning to do a cost segregation study, you know, buying something that the land value is worth 70% of your purchase price, just keep in mind that the cost seg is not going to have the same horsepower. It's not going to have that same impact, because you 70% of your purchase price, you're not going to be able to do anything with. It's only that 30% if you're buying on really expensive land that you're going to be able to depreciate. So just keep that in mind. If you're looking for a nice punchy tax benefit, you want to find something that has a lot of structural value with minimized land value.
You know, that's a great call out, because that is the single most, the biggest factor that's going to impact your tax deductions is that land value or allocation number. But kind of getting back to, you know, all the different methods, you know, if you like or feel like the tax assessor's allocation is reasonable, you know, you can use that, and it's actually supported by IRS publications that say that they won't challenge it. And if you don't like that number, what are your options? Well, like you said, some people will kind of do the swag method, the specialized wild ass guess method, where it was a sophisticated wild ass guess.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, 80-20, whatever kind of works, but you got to be careful there, because the IRS reserves the right to audit you and ask how you got that number. And if they don't like it, they'll assess adjustments. You know, the next strategy or option is to hire an appraiser. So, you know, the only issue with that is you might hire that appraiser and not like the answer that you get, right? And so you might end up paying, you know, $3,000-$5,000 to go out, get an appraisal of land, and it might come out worse than what the property tax assessor says you can use. So just got to be careful there.
You know, what are your thoughts on when you're buying a property? Usually you're getting leverage. Usually you're going to be getting an appraisal. That appraisal is usually ordered by the bank. Is there any way to get ahead of this and get land value stripped out in that appraisal during the purchase process so that you don't have to go and get another appraisal after you close?
Yeah, 100%. Be proactive. Try to get to the appraiser ordered by the bank and let them know that you'll pay a little extra to have them split out land.
And if you don't like the answer, can you just throw that away, or crumple it up and throw it in the trash?
Yeah. I probably shouldn't answer that question.
Fair enough. We'll take that, read between the lines there. Got it. What about, all right, so a lot of people are interested in buying condos, townhouses, not just, you know, big multifamily buildings or big self-storage buildings or industrial, whatever, what have you. Let's talk about, you know, if you're planning on buying personal real estate, you know, obviously single family home, duplex, triplex, quad. And then there's, you know, those are pretty straightforward, right? But what about condos? Because in condos, a lot of the common areas are not actually owned by you. It's owned by the association. What do you find, you know, are condos good for writing off a bunch in year one or not so much?
So there's different approaches that I've seen used with this. And you're right, actually can change from state to state how the condo purchase agreements are written. In some cases, you might own a fractional share of everything. And in that case, you know, we've done condo buildings where you buy an office condo, for example, and you might have a certain number of parking spots that are assigned to your condo, like right in front of it. In those cases, if we did a cost segregation study, we would allocate the area of the parking lot that's dedicated to your condo. But, you know, in other cases, like you said, you're owning the stuff inside the walls of the unit. I'll say this, look, it almost always makes sense to do the cost seg study. You know, I used to say if you bought it for $1 million or more,
right?
Because the numbers are just big enough, and for the cost of the study, you're going to get, you know, a 10x return on your money. And now, you know, I'll talk about a little later. I was telling you before the show, we actually created software that makes it super efficient to do these cost seg studies on smaller properties now, even an office condo that's purchased for, you know, as little as $200,000. And it pencils out because it's self-guided software that starts at $500.
Amazing. Well, let's dive into that. So, you know, because I think there's a, you know, on the high end, there's like on-site engineers. So, I mean, if you're buying a, you know, eight-figure commercial property, you probably want to have an engineering firm come down and, you know, actually walk the property, take photos, run a full engineering report. Then there's virtual cost segs where you just submit photos and an engineering firm does it for you. And now you have this sort of DIY software. So how does that work?
Yeah. So our firm, KBKG, you know, we're one of the biggest cost segregation firms in the country. And we do, you know, the full service engineering studies where we go out looking at big buildings. And what we did is we created a self-guided online software. It's called costsegregation.com. Okay, and that's where you find it. And basically, you enter the address of the property, and AI will suck in all the publicly available information about that property right into it. It'll, you know, ask you to confirm the information and ask you some additional questions, like, you know, if let's say it's a residential condo, it's going to say, list out the room types and say what type of flooring is in each room. And there's a pull down menu and you select vinyl flooring or tile or carpet. It'll have check boxes for what appliances came with it. It'll ask you if there's central heating or air conditioning. You know, a lot of questions that you're going to know the answer to because you own the property. And it's, you know,
right.
And it takes about 15 minutes for an owner to get through this process, and it'll generate it. You can actually invite your tax preparer to it. So they can come in and they can look at the tax information and make sure that you're tying it out to the right number. And you go through this whole process. You don't even pay anything, right? You get all the way to the end, 15 minutes. It'll tell you how much your deductions are, and you get to decide whether you want to pay at that point to get the full report.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Risk-free to get through that process.
That's such a great service because, you know, I know I've talked to a lot of pilots who want to do these studies, and then they see, you know, oh, it's going to cost $3,500. I don't know. You know, pilots always are looking for ways to save money, and that's fantastic and great to be backed by someone who knows the IRS tax code so well. What are your thoughts on, well, I don't know if I want to get into the AmeriSouth case yet. I can't wait to get there. But I want to come back to condo and townhome real quick. You said that in the condo documents, you'd be able to tell whether some of the common areas are fractionally owned. How does somebody look through those documents and determine, maybe you're considering buying a condo, you're considering buying something that's more of a townhome. How do you determine whether, you know, you own those common units or you're not going to get the benefit of those in the cost seg? Is that something that the software can help you with, or are you going to have to go and work with your agent on that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you would want to ask your agent and you know, what if there's a purchase agreement, you could throw it into ChatGPT and ask if you have a fractional interest in all of the improvements. You know,
there's going to be a lot of agents who don't know, because most real estate agents aren't investors, so they don't even know what a cost segregation study is. So I think that tip of just dragging the condo docs into ChatGPT is a really good idea. Also, try to work with an agent who knows their stuff. I think, you know, my wife is an agent. She knows all about this stuff. You said you claim rep status as well, real estate professional status, and your wife does some real estate stuff. So I'm sure that she's familiar. So try to work with an agent who actually can guide you on this stuff. There's a lot of agents who just have no clue.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, but yeah, drag it into ChatGPT. It can definitely help.
Look, for the software, because it is online software, it's not going to look outside the walls of the condo, because you might have like this huge, massive site and it just can't analyze this huge thing. Right. It's meant for smaller properties. You know, you buy in a 5-unit building on a 10,000 square foot lot, you know, it'll handle that because it'll understand what's there. But when it comes to condos, it works for condos, but it's only going to look at the inside of the units.
Perfect. So if you do have a condo building where you own fractionally, you know, some of the common areas you might want to go for a full study where you're actually working with a professional. Fantastic. This is great stuff. Let's dive into audits. You know, when someone does a cost segregation study, you know, it has to be audit proof because the IRS can come back and, you know, take a peek for up to what, 7 years?
It's the statute of limitation is 3 years. That's usually, okay. But theoretically they could actually go back to 7 years because it's a depreciation issue. But 3 years is really kind of the safe. Once you get past 3 years, you're kind of in the clear.
Okay. Sounds good. What does that actually look like? Are there certain things with, if you run a cost segregation study, does it put you at higher risk of audit?
So, you know, I get this question a lot, and the chances of getting audited by with doing a cost segregation study, we haven't found any difference if you're doing it on a current year tax return. So if you buy the building this year and you're reporting it on the tax return in the year you bought it, there's no additional risk. And there's no actual way that the IRS can tell that you did a cost segregation study if you do it in the year that you purchased it. If you're doing a cost seg study on a building you bought in a prior year, there's an additional form you have to file with the IRS to say, hey, I need to fix something from a prior year tax return. And look, can they see that you did a cost seg? Yes. Does it increase the risk? Look, if you might be going from a 0.002% chance of audit to a 0.003% chance of audit, it's not going to spike right. you up there, because cost segregation, there's literally, like, I don't know, tens of thousands of these forms that get filled right. in each year. So it's not like something that is uncommon for them to see.
Excellent. Okay. So yeah. And that honestly is something that I think is on a lot of people's minds when they're new to this. They're thinking, oh boy, this is some complicated thing. I'm going to increase my audit risk. That's great to know. In terms of, let's say you bought a building in 2025 or a home or anything, right? And of course, again, this has to be a business asset. You can't cost segregate your personal residence. So it has to be an investment property. But let's say you buy it in 2025. What's the deadline to do a cost seg? You said in the same calendar year, right? Can you wait until you file your tax return to do it? So you don't have to rush and get it done before New Year's.
That's right. Yeah. Some people think that they need to get it done. And sometimes I have to tell them, look, man, it's December 15th. You don't have to get it done in 2 weeks. We have a little more time.
Right.
It has to, you know, as long as it's done before you actually file that return, which, you know, could be March 15th, April 15th, or maybe even extended to September, October.
Fantastic. And for anybody that's not familiar, you know, the March 15th deadline, of course, is for S-Corps and partnerships. And then, of course, the standard April 15th deadline. All right. On the subject of audit, you know, we talked a little bit on the episode with Brandon Hall about the AmeriSouth case. I'd like to flesh this out a little bit more. It sounds like you're very familiar with it. So you want to maybe break down what that case was and the can of worms that it opened for cost segregation studies?
Yeah. So back in 2012, this case came out, tax summary of the case anyway. And it was a very interesting case where the taxpayer owned an apartment building. They did cost seg. The IRS audited it. The taxpayer was defending it. They were taking it to tax court, and the taxpayer ended up selling the property before it went to tax court. And that's an important distinction here, because they actually, the results of whether they won or lost the case wouldn't impact them, because they had to pay what's called recapture. And right, I'll save that right. for another time. But the bottom line is they lost interest in defending the case. And so the IRS had an interest in taking it to tax court. So they kept pushing on it, got it into tax court. And the judge ruled in favor of the IRS, saying all this stuff that is found inside an apartment building that you guys segregate, you know, and accelerate depreciation on, really shouldn't be eligible, right? And so So, you know, that came out and, you know, everybody in the cost seg industry was, you know, kind of talking about the case. And it really turns out that it was bad case law. And it's funny because there was another court case going to federal court, you know, about a year later. And that taxpayer was a big insurance company. They called me in as the expert witness to defend them against the IRS. And so I was working with a team of attorneys out of Washington, D.C. At the time, I was the president of the American Society of Cost Segregation Professionals. Now, that's kind of why they wanted me to be the expert witness. And look, the IRS, they're really careful about taking things to tax court. Okay. They don't want to take anything to tax court that they have, you know, a good chance of losing on. Okay. Right. They took the Amerisoft to tax court because of the situation. Like, they didn't care to defend it. They could win it. The judge even said, like, they ruled in favor of them.
They had disappeared, right? They weren't even responding to their attorneys. So had they just showed up, they would have won.
And so my point is that the IRS doesn't like to take things to tax court, right, that they could lose on, because that sets precedent. And then it opens the door for everybody to do, you know, what they
don't
want.
For everybody to win,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And so here's another case going to tax court, right? Shortly after. Of course, they weren't budging. Guess what? 2 weeks before the case was supposed to go to court and I was supposed to stand on trial. Of course, the IRS, they conceded. They conceded on 90% of the stuff that they were saying shouldn't qualify from the Amerisouth case. Okay. Now, and then since then, not one case has come out against a taxpayer in the apartment building industry,
right,
that the IRS has taken to tax court. So it's, you know, most people in the cost seg industry, like, and I know, you know, I know all the different players out there, we all feel the same way. And for the most part, there's a lot of cost seg studies done on apartment buildings, probably more than any other asset class. And so it's something that, you know, it's a case that's out there, and sometimes the IRS will pull an audit and bully taxpayers to the point where, unless they bring someone like me in that can stand up to the IRS and say, yeah, no, and here's why. And yeah, I've had those situations where I've been brought in just to get the IRS to back off of an issue because they know that if they take it all the way, they're going to have to concede.
Right, right. So interesting. Well, it's fun to bring up because it's a funny story. It's like, you know, you're setting this case law in tax court because the defendant didn't show up. And I didn't know that it was a net zero result for them. They didn't care whether they won or lost. It didn't affect them because they'd already sold it and recaptured the tax. So that makes sense.
And there's a backstory behind there because I know the expert witness from that case that I've had discussions with on kind of exactly what happened in that case. And, you know, like anything else, let's put it this way, there were some shaking of hands that happened behind the scenes to get that case to even be tried in court. And I'll leave it at that because it's confidential information, but
okay.
You know, that's just kind of how the way this country works.
That's so interesting. Okay, let's talk about existing rental properties. A lot of our listeners out there own rental property. One, two, maybe more. And they may have put these properties into service in years past, not knowing about the cost segregation studies. Let's talk about bonus depreciation and sort of the gasoline that bonus depreciation throws on the fire, and what years it might be very accretive for people to go back and do a cost seg on a property that they already own.
Yeah, certainly. So you can go back into any prior year that you bought a property and still apply a cost segregation study. Okay. There's a kind of a period of diminishing returns. I usually say it's for residential rental properties about 10 years. Like if you bought the property more than 10 years ago, probably not going to make sense to do cost seg.
That's just because you've taken a good chunk of the straight line depreciation at that point.
Right. Right. You're 10 years in, you only have 17 years left. But if it's within that 10-year window, definitely makes sense to do cost seg, and you get to catch up any deductions that you missed over the last since you bought the property. So yeah, it's a nice little pop of depreciation that you can kind of time when you want to use.
Absolutely. And I mean, we got bonus depreciation to 100% back in 2017, correct? So if you bought a property in 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, that was all during this bonus depreciation window, where if you bought it and placed it into service as a rental property in one of those years, you can go back, not only do the cost seg, but you can also apply 100% bonus depreciation to those properties.
Yeah, that's right. And then they brought bonus depreciation back in, you know, with this big, beautiful bill. So any property purchased after January 20th of 2025, you get that benefit as well. But look, even if you bought the property in 2023, when bonus started to phase down, you're still going to get, like, it's not that different than getting the full bonus depreciation, because you're going back to catch up year. So it still makes sense in even those 23, 24 years.
Excellent. All right. So moving on, what other things does this audience need to know about cost segregation studies?
You know, look, I think the key thing is, one, they need to understand if the deductions that are created from a cost seg study are going to actually benefit them. You know, that's number one, probably the most important thing, because in some cases, you might own a building, you might do cost seg, and you might receive zero benefit from it. Okay. And so always talk to your tax preparer about it to understand if the deductions generated can be used by you to offset your income. That's number one. Talk to your CPA. Number two, look, it's not hard to figure out if once you talk to your CPA and they say, yeah, you can benefit from cost seg, go look into it. You know, you really just want to pick a firm that's reputable, right? And there's a society called the American Society of Cost Segregation Professionals. They provide the certifications. You want to use somebody that's certified. And yeah, look, for smaller properties, especially ones that are like $500,000 type properties, probably doesn't make sense to go out and hire a professional certified engineer to come out to your property. We've launched our software back in 2016. We actually have gone through audit with it on a number of occasions and have had zero adjustments in history of our company.
Amazing.
With that software. So it works really well.
Fantastic. Walk us through how someone gets to the software, plugs in their property, because this is a fantastic resource.
Yeah, costsegregation.com. Okay. That's the name of it. That's kind of, you know, and that's my company's KBKG, but we own that brand. And, you know, step one, like I said, you can sign up for free, doesn't cost anything. You can go through this whole process and get to the end, see how much it's going to benefit you before you pay. Pricing starts at $500. And so, yeah, step one, enter your address. Like I said, AI pulls in all the information that's publicly available. It's going to walk you through questions that you should know about your property. Takes 15 minutes, and it'll produce a report that you can hand to your CPA that's going to give them everything they need to report it on your tax return. It's also going to tell you how much you saved, et cetera. And yeah, there you go.
Fantastic. We'll link to that in the show notes. John, thank you so much for your wisdom today. This has been fantastic.
Oh, one last thing. I forgot that I brought a unique promo code for your listeners.
Oh, fantastic.
That want to try the software. So again, costsegregation.com. If you are in there and you sign up and you get to the end, you can put in this promo code. It's pilot's code. Okay. And it's all caps.
Pilot's code.
PILOTSCODE, all caps. And you'll get 10% off first time users.
There it is. John, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on the next one.
Thank you, Tate.